Hey, John. Good
Hi,
seeing you.
Gavin. I told you I'd be in my car.
There you go. You just make sure you're driving safe, brother.
I only have like 5, 7 minutes to get to my garage.
There we go. Take it easy, man.
All I have to do is I get on the drive, and then it's an easy drive at this point.
All good. All good, man. You've got
I
strong
went to the
luck.
opera this afternoon and went with a friend that had a walker, so I had to drop her off in the walker, and now I dropped her off, and now I'm on my way home.
There we go. You concentrate on the road, brother.
Will do.
Thompson, how you doing, man?
Oh, good, sir. See you guys far too often these days.
Mate, it's like every few days. Every few days, man. We're on it. Here he is, big Irishman.
How is?
What was I gonna say then? I was gonna say something to Thompson then. Did you get back to work okay after breakfast?
Oh I stayed late, so I stayed late tonight as well, so it all evens out.
Oh, good. As long as you didn't get in trouble.
Boss was away, so
There we go. Let me just you guys keep on. I'll let Greg take over 1 sec. I'm just gonna check the WhatsApp group.
Where are you off to, John? Are you off to work or on your way back?
He's on his way back, I think, Greg.
Okay.
Okay. Well, we've got a few minutes in. Let me just clean my screen. See, there we go. Look at that. Clean screen. Okay, Jen. So there's only a couple of you in tonight, so we might get a good bit of depth in for both of you. So obviously, we want to start looking at every month. Oh, Austin's in. There we go. Every month, we want to start looking at the previous 30 days and start to plan out the next 30 days, right? So it's not going to be like the one-to-one planning schedule you're going to have with your actual coach if your coach isn't on the call. But at least if you've got those things set out or the generalized targets that you're going to be working towards overall, and we want to highlight gaps that you feel you're struggling with maybe in the last 30 days and you want to get unstuck on for the next 30 days. That's going to be the most important thing, right? So this is what these whole calls should be about, like for the most part, getting you unstuck each week to make sure you can keep making progress on the things that matter the most. So that's the main framing of tonight and obviously every 30 days, okay? Let me just pull in Paul's in as well. Good to see you, Paul. Got a little haircut since I last saw you in Tampa. Looking fresh, man.
Shave it off the last day of every month.
Look out. Austin's in somewhere. Jared's in as well. They've got their cameras off. Okay, so why don't we start looking at going around the table? I know Thompson, we're on. If I start with you, it's easier to start with you because I know what we're working towards. But we're looking at some energy production stuff, obviously, this next 30 to 60 days, to be honest, with the amount of time that we're going to be pushing towards it. But also with what we've planned out with Greg in terms of your genetics, and supplementation, things like that. So I have to say, man, you're looking good. Like, you're looking good, man. You rocked up at breakfast the other day. The shirt was fitting nice. Like, you look a different person. Like, Greg, you left, and Greg's like, he looks totally different, man. He looks fantastic. So good work, brother.
See that, Thompson? Right? I'm really nice behind your back. I'm just mean to your face.
You look
Yeah. So, what do you want me to say?
Yeah, so looking at, like, I know we discuss each week anyway, we have in-depth calls, but like opening up and showing people like exactly where each one, like I'll do this as well sometimes. What if I look back at the last 30 days, there's going to be some kind of continuation of something that I'll be stuck with at certain points, and I have to put something in place to change it if I want to move forward. Right. So it might be a little bit different with you because we've been working on the things over the last 30 days as well. And you've had a trip to Tampa. You've seen me every I think every other day for the last 30 days anyway. But in general, what is the main thing that you come stuck with at work? And I think I know where you're going to go with this, but yeah, what do you get stuck with mainly? And then how can we unblock it for you?
It's still my operating system, to be honest. Just today, I had my breakfast shake and then, got stuck at work immediately, just like meeting, meeting, meeting. And then I looked down 2 hours later and it's still there. So I consume enough calories during the day. It's just like getting those meals kind of downed and like within the time frames would be good. Also just like sometimes just like unpredictable lunch hours, etc. Just when I get stuck on an issue, I just full on forget about eating until late in the day. So then that pushes my meal time to later in the evening, and then my sleep and HRV and recovery kind of suffers a bit as well. So that's kind of like the OS I need to get, better on. I would say in the last week or two with travel, with like, prep and all that hasn't been top notch. So no more travel in the next couple of weeks. So back to like meal preps and, just the operating system and the daily schedule.
What's the best way we can lay out your operating system? Would you feel?
It's just I even have the snacks there. So I typed in the group chat right the other day. I have the snacks there. I don't even like eat them. So I just need to like have it right there in front of me, laid out as soon as I sit down at work. And then, yeah, if I like my I've set the alarm, so as the alarm goes off, just reach for it and just, chow down on some snacks or whatever, just to keep me going.
Yeah, what stops you doing that though? Because they're there anyway, right? Which well, you said that they're typically on your desk or something like that, and all of a sudden, you look back and you still haven't eaten those either. So, what do we need to put in place to anchor that in? What do you feel is the best strategy we have?
Not sure really. Like when I get obsessed about something, like an issue or like an email or like a particular thing at work, I just obsess about it. So maybe just taking the 2 minutes just to like step away for 2 minutes and just chow down or whatever. I don't know.
I was going to say, but you might need to put a roadblock in front of that, right? So if you're staying at your desk, it's going to be an issue. So when the alarm goes off, the food's there, you stand up, you take it outside, and you go and eat it somewhere else, then you come back. It might just have to, because if you're going to sit there and then straight away your main focus, if you're dialed in, is going to be screen. You'll be thinking all of a sudden it's like, boom, I can do this now. Whereas you might even be more focused after food, so you energize a little bit more and you come back and finish the work. So it's taking itself away from that. So when I'm in, I think we've done a couple of calls and I've been in Toronto with Ben, and it's normally with the glass windows behind me. I'm in that coffee shop. We'll typically work there for the morning, and then we'll physically get up and walk over the road, close the laptops down, walk over the road and eat over the road, then come back. Right? Because if we, similar thing, right? So if we're sat there, it's a coffee or something, we're going to eat there. That'll get left behind the laptop, and you're not eating effectively, you know, resting, digesting, and so on, and being more focused on the food rather than focused on the work at the same time. So you're not really getting nourished enough at that point, right? You're just wolfing something down, or you're just not finishing the meal, you know? So physically standing up, taking that plate of food, whatever it is, if it's a snack, even outside of the room, sit, relax, eat 5 minutes, 10 minutes, wherever it is, and then back into the room.
Yeah, I eat at my desk, which is really bad.
Yeah. It's like eating on the floor in front of the TV, right? It's a similar thing to that, you know. So we can move away from there in a more relaxed environment. That might help too. So let's plan that on our 16-hour audit if we can. Plan it in. Because you're like if you're setting your alarms, like this should be an easy win. If the alarms are going off, it's just a matter of getting up and getting out. And worst case scenario, you finish 5 minutes later than what you normally would at the end of the day. Which most days is a little bit later anyway, right? Good work, man. We'll discuss it more on our call as well. Who else is here who's got their videos off? I think Jared's in. Austin's in as well. Austin's probably stretching at this point. He better be doing his mobility.
Should be.
He better be doing his mobility. Greg, do you want to bring somebody in yourself, mate?
Yeah, John's always a good example, regardless if you've got time to speak, John.
I'm about ready to get on the elevator. I'm happy to talk as soon as I get off the elevator.
Okay, no problem. We'll bring you in next, okay?
Okay.
Paul, while you're there, brother, what's the biggest roadblock that you're struggling with at the moment or in the last month in order to get towards your goal? So where's, I don't like to use the word failure, but where's the biggest lever that you think you can pull over the last month that's been the biggest problem?
One
Go
sec.
ahead.
What's the goal for last month? Did you hit your goals? And then what's the goal for this next 30 days as well? And if there was a common roadblock in the last 30 days, there was, you might have hit your goal, but it was a struggle to get there maybe. Or what do you feel is the common roadblock that you feel might trip you up on the way to your next 30 days? Let's make sure we hit that out the gate today and support you there. So like Greg's saying, what's the common thing? But let us know what the goals are you're working towards from last month to this month as well, okay?
Biggest thing would just be increasing strength to work towards a 1,000 pound club. I think the biggest roadblock right at this point would be recovery. You started experiencing pain like mid-February. Got to the point where it's just like pushing up when squatting movements. Then it flared up to where I couldn't hold the knee at a 90-degree angle without pain. That resolved like a little bit before the camp. So there you talked to me about narrowing stance for back squats. So that helped a bit. Then with things like reverse lunges, if I focus more on the glutes, there's no pain. So it's possibly how I was doing it. But at this point, it's pretty much, I think back squats and hack squats, where it's may or may not be pain, or just a little bit more pressure when pushing up, but it's more just continuing to recover from that.
What does so when you think about recovery, what does recovery mean for you? Does that just mean time between training sessions, or are you actively recovering in any way? Like, is there mobility involved? Is there adequate sleep involved?
Sleep quality isn't there. I think amount is a little less than it should be. But historically, this is the Oura Ring. It tells me that I need to get better sleep. And it's more just getting to a point where the knee doesn't bother me or I don't have to worry about having to pull back so I don't set it off again.
And what then do you do anything mobility wise? So do you notice that, is there anything that eases that pain for you? Or do
Typically
you always
standing,
feel it when you squat?
typically when I'm standing up, like at the camp, when we went to the Armature Works, sitting down for that long at the dinner caused my knee to ache, so I had to stand up just to relieve that for a bit. But normally that or walking for a while helps for a bit too.
Okay. Is there any stretching or activation work that you noticed took some of that pain off your knee? Because it can give you indication of where the problem is.
Not off the top of my head. But there is like mobility and flexibility days built into the training. So that has been happening.
Well, which exercise did you say you were doing? Obviously, Andrew programmed for you, but was it a reverse lunge that's there was no knee pain at all?
That was at the camp in one of
Okay.
the sessions on the second day or third, one of those.
And there was no knee pain at all on your reverse lunge, no?
Was in the beginning before I picked up on focusing on the glutes. When I focused on using the glutes for that, it eased up and didn't really feel it.
And you didn't feel anything. You didn't feel anything on the hack squats when I was putting the poundages up on there for you because you crushed that, bro.
Not that I remember, but at that point it could have been adrenaline because I was like four exercises in. But when I did hack squats, I think yesterday, for like the first set, it was like borderline. Then just felt a little bit more. Then after the adrenaline kicked in, I was fine.
Is it on? Do you get anything through? Is the pain through the front of the knee down into the kneecap? Is it on the inside of the knee? Is it on the outside of the knee? Where specifically around the knee joint is it?
Inside of the knee with the patella being like this right in here on the left knee.
So right through the patella tendon, yeah?
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay. Makes sense. Okay. So there's a few things I'll maybe feed back to Andrew just to take a look at a few things. It could be a little bit of, so there's a couple of, how did you have any pain when you were a youngster in the knees as well? Like growing up in school or anything like that? No.
No.
Okay. So sometimes the patella tendon pain could be a weakness For sure in the glutes, for sure. Especially lateral glutes, lateral hip, the glute itself in general. If that's not working or effective, you're not going to be able to decelerate that knee going forward effectively because the glute isn't going to lengthen and because it wraps itself around the outside of the leg, the lateral leg. So as you go into squat, that hip, that glute should start to stretch and control and decelerate that flexion point of view, right? That hip flexion you're going to go through. So if that's not switched on, that's not how. So imagine like reins on a horse when you're trying to decelerate a horse, like you're trying to control it. It's not able to do that for the femur, where basically the upper part of the leg, as you go into that squat. So if that's not working, the knee has to do more, right? And the muscles around the knee, especially on the inside of the knee, one called the VMO, that's if you look at where the VMO starts, it's like that teardrop muscle on the inside of your knee, right? That's what you'll see. And people think, oh, it's just a muscle that sits just on the lower part of the leg. If you actually look at where that the tendon originates from, it's right up into the lateral part of the hip. Okay, so what we tend to see is if you can strengthen that muscle up, that helps track that knee joint a little bit more effectively because it centralizes the knee. So that's been shown. Like I've used it myself in the past experience with athletes and so on. And the strength coach that taught me exercises to help do that. That was one of his go-to muscles to really strengthen up. So it's performing. You could start with reverse lunges for sure, front foot elevated split squats and heel supported step ups. Those things will attack the knee. So the step up itself, you're typically working the top 15 degree of knee flexion. So you're not going really, really deep. And that'll really start to activate it. And then you sort of miss the middle part and you go into a deep range front foot elevated split squat where the back of the knee, the back of the hamstring covers the calf. That's the depth that you want. You want full ankle range of motion as much as you can. And you want the depth enough for the hamstring to cover the calf. And you just use a box height that allows you to get that motion. So if you can't get it, keep raising the height. Keep raising the height until you get that. You might get around mid-shin height. That's typically the box height that works pretty well. Some people go a little bit higher, but if you have access that range, then you spend time there because that shouldn't allow you to get the knee pain. You'll probably find you'll have no knee pain doing at the range that you're successful in. And with the front foot elevated, you'll be recruiting more of the glutes as well. Now, the implement I would use with that is probably a cable, right? I probably wouldn't use dumbbells. So if there's issues around the knee, it's going to be more quad related. So if I use dumbbells by my sides, the load going through the center, I think we did this in the squats on the camp where I showed you how much load was placed on specific muscles based off how far the joint was traveling from the load. If the dumbbells are going straight down there by my sides, well, the knee's further forward then, so the quads are going to do more. So if the quad's an issue, what I typically do is have a cable in one hand and I'm allowing the cable to pull me a little bit as I go down. Now, what that does, the quads will still work, but because I'm being pulled forward, my posterior chain is going to have to work a lot harder to get me back out. So by default, it's a quad exercise. But your glutes work a lot more to get you back out of that deep position. So that's probably where I would start you, man. Deep split squats, front foot elevated, and heel supported step ups working the top 15 degrees as well. Lightweight, plenty of reps in there just to get some blood in and get some time and attention there. And then you can start moving towards heavier loading once the knee pain kicks out. And Andrew will be able to program all this up for you. But I'd probably start there, man. And obviously then looking at glutes, posterior chain. Because if you did something where you strengthened the glutes up and that took the knee pain away, I would probably hit it from both sides of the VMO and the hamstrings and glute area to really control the whole hip structure. Does that make
Sure.
sense? Any questions?
Not at this point. I'm gonna spoke to the stick later.
Yeah, man. If you need any videos on it or any like deeper insights, just drop me a message on WhatsApp or something. I'll send you a few videos.
Will do. Thank you.
Good work, man. Jared's in the house as well, man. How you t Jared's first couple of days in the program. He sent me a message after the first day. That the first day was humbling, apparently. How did that go, brother?
The first day was good. Like I did like the full body splits because like back and forth and half and pop. But yeah, it was definitely a different test for my Robocat chat, going back and forth, back and forth. And yeah, on the HRV, you could definitely see a bit more strain in the upper lower split within the workout.
Yeah, it should work well, man. Like, 'cause we know that's it's gonna strain you initially, obviously, because one, it's your biggest lever we're gonna pull, it's your biggest limiter, right? So we're gonna have to pull that lever, and it's probably gonna kick you in the ass pretty quick. So you might notice a dip in the HRV, but as we start building that aerobic base, you'll notice your HRV start to climb pretty well, or should do. But things will probably come to light a little bit more once we get certain lab tests back with your digestive panels and things like that. That'll shed a little bit more light.
Yeah, that and just focusing on those tempos, but more with the pause and bottom, the hack squat and pause at the top of lateral raises. So yeah, just being a little bit more on those nuances on the tempo and the isometric pauses in the bottom or the top, and definitely change things, be a little more precise in
Beauty.
those.
Beauty, man. Obviously a bit different for you because you obviously you just started out with the program, but anything coming up for you or top of mind over the next 7 days or so that you can foresee, like, okay, that might be a bit of an issue for me. Are we a clear up for you? Or you think you're I'm in?
No, I think food was a pretty good example of when I have the hectic early start. Like I mentioned, I love my 5 a.m. workouts. Some days with the clients starting at 6, it doesn't happen. 6, time to get my workout in this morning, then going into 5 straight sessions on the floor. So it was more just snacking and not eating real food, which
I think
5 straights, one-on-one sessions.
sorry, man. You're dropping out a little bit, brother.
Sorry, I'm on the water. Yeah, so basically, like I said, busy PT day, 5 session straights. You there?
Yeah.
You guys losing? Okay.
Yeah, we can hear you. We can hear you.
Yeah.
Don't worry.
Yes, the consistency and not get my training in this AM just through my day for a curveball.
Okay. Yeah, we'll have strategies for that, man, for sure. I think we put some easy nutrition around it. Obviously, I think we discussed this on our kickoff call as well, right? So we'll make sure we got the things in place there just so we got backups and we'll get the rest around. But Greg will have everything lined up for you too. He's got all the macros and stuff, and we'll be locking that in, man.
Yeah, no, like the food choice and everything were all right, just the volume, right? Trying to just get the calorie aspect up on snacks is obviously a bit more challenging, a real full plate of food.
Yeah, but we've got some good targets hit over the first, I'd say 30, 60 days. We're gonna make I was going through I was showing Greg your start pick as well. I'm like, we're gonna get some decent shape, bro. Like, get ready, man. Like, so I know we'll set these targets. I'm gonna push you a little bit more because I want to see what your first couple of check-ins are like, and I might even set the target, the bar even higher for you.
I'm just interested in adding the conditioning cardio and how much that makes a difference on the body fat percentage versus, like I said, being more resistant heavy and limiting my conditioning. So it'll be a lot more optimal.
Mate, it's underestimated, man. The more condition you can get in the front end, the harder you can pull. You got levers to pull when you start going towards the back end. You can put the foot down. You got the gas to the pedal down, and you're flat out. You got way more recoverability. And you have to remember, like, when you pull a lever on the metabolism, if I'm going to push something, let's say for example, I'm trying to drive a little bit more glycogen into the system. I want more glucose uptake. One, I'm going to need carbohydrates to do that, but I'm going to need the signal to do that as well, right? So if I'm pushing lactate or I'm pushing, now we have to be careful there too. So if I'm driving too much volume, we don't want to cause too much inflammation, which is going to reduce the amount of glycogen getting into the cell. So I have to make sure that the volume's there for you too, but enough to recover from, that it's not creating too much volume or muscle damage. But in terms of energy systems, what we're looking at is, like, if I'm asking you to do X reps, that's going to drive a specific system, right? So that's going to warrant that muscular contraction to need glucose. If we're not hitting it correctly, then I could be driving carbs in. You're not going to get carbs in the cell. Same thing with the energy systems, right? So when I've got a client I was on a call with today, and we're looking at literally, we're looking at distance. I'm like, once that distance drops by 10%, you cut the sets. And he's able to do 400, 485 meters, 480, 480, 480, 480. So, and that's for over, I think it was over a minute. I can't remember what implement it was on, but it's tough going. Like, it takes a minute. He said he gets to 45 seconds and he's like, I'm literally going to die. But he's able to continue out, right? And he's just added in Mott C. And he's like, that I think that's the lever that's helping his capacity. So if his capacity's there, the next angle for me now is, well, his capacity's fine. I need his power up. So now the switch for him is like, well, I'm going to give you more anaerobic, alactic stuff because I want to drive that power as high as possible. And if he can still hold that capacity because only like 10, 15 seconds, I'm going to drop him off 80% and I'm going to hold him there for like 20 to 30 seconds. And then I'm going to reduce his rest periods down to work capacity on that. But I want to drive his power up as much as possible. So if I give him like real hard development of that, which is alactic for sure. So it's not going to be glucose driven at that point. But if I'm training it and then I put that into a lactate based system, that's going to manage a lot of glucose, man, because he's going to contract like hell. His power is going to be through the roof. So you see how it's like prepping you ready for that system. So at the minute it's going to be aerobic because the work output might not be there when we need it. So we got to prep it and then we'll put it to work afterwards, right? So we'll be able to drive carbs into the system. You'll be on way more calories than what you've probably ever dieted on before. If we're needing a diet at that point, because if performance is the factor, we're going to keep calories as high as possible, and the deficit will come from performance anyway. So those are a few angles we can start to think of. Okay, love you, brother. Greg, John's ready to
John,
go.
you ready, my friend?
Sorry, it took me a while to find the unmute button. So a couple things that have come up. One just came up this morning. It was when I'm working in the evening, sometimes I find it hard to get all the calories in. So I had a rehearsal last night, and I got home like a quarter to 10, and I made the mistake of trying to get the last 300 calories in before I went to sleep. And then I had a restless night of sleep because of reflux. So it's sometimes, and next week I've got like 4 nights in a row when I'm out. So it's like, how do I plan around so that I feel like it's probably better? It would have been better for me not to try to get those 300 calories in and just get to today. And so I've been trying to, when we were in the cut, I was starting eating later. Now I'm trying to start eating earlier so I have more time to get calories in. So that's one of those things that is a consideration. I'm feeling pretty good about my energy. And I'm working on finding what weights are right for the new program. Like, when is it too heavy and I need to drop? When is it not heavy enough? I need to go up. And I did throw in the rec fem stretch a couple times because that was like the hardest stretch for me to do at the muscle camp. But it got me, and where the pain was has certainly lessened as I've been doing it. So I think that's a good one for me to do.
Yeah, that's a good show, man. And I think when we're worried about caloric intake, we can always look to front load it even more. So like we can have an alternative meal plan for days where you're rehearsing really late. So it can look like meal one, smoothie option or shake option, meal two. And then you don't have to worry about it. Now, if all works out and you get home on time, we can have the original meal plan where you've got meal one, two, three, and four. So there are changes that we can make there if you're noticing that you're just unable to get it all in, as long as we know exactly what the time scale looks like for you. So you could run something like on, you'll see it on your plan. I think I have it open, like your 16-hour audit. So you can go in and you can write down what that day actually looks like. And then we can, let me just double check and make sure that it's up on yours because it's not. Sometimes I hide those sheets. And then we can look from there to see where we can fit things around for you.
And it would have been something that if I'd just done a protein shake and had that with me, I could have taken that when I was in the car.
Yeah, and like it's just knowing like on those particular days that this let's prepare for worst case scenario, right? Because you can't eat late in the evening, you know that, because of the reflux side of things. So let's make sure that we have a meal plan that's prepped for a day like that.
But my sleep score was 48, and it hasn't been below 80 for several days. So was dramatic in terms of it telling me that I had a restless sleep.
Yeah, okay. So let's get, where's your effect? Anyway, I'll get it as soon as we're off. So let's make sure that you get a 16-hour audit done for what that particular, yeah, it's up on yours, what that particular day looks like, and then we can work around it for sure. And with John, just for reference for everybody, with John is 95% accurate with everything that he does. The thing that's difficult for John is week to week, he has, like, he would have to do almost a 16-hour audit for the vast majority of days because every day can look really, really different for him in terms of hours. So he can work late, he can work early, depending on what season it is in. His biggest struggle has been to try and, now that we're in a surplus, trying to find enough time to get the food in at the appropriate times.
And even though we're in a surplus, I'm still, my weight has flatlined and even gone down a little bit. I feel like I'm leaning out while I'm gaining muscle, which I'm not complaining about, but I know that you're adding things gradually to see what I can handle and what I can't.
Yeah, so last time we went into a surplus with John, which is just touching on what Gav was talking about in regards to like physical capability. Now we're able to use the same, almost the same caloric intake, and he's dropping body fat. The last time we put him in that kind of surplus, he gained a lot of body fat on the last push. So it's cool to see.
Built the machine there, Greg. He's an absolute legend.
Never gives up, John.
He's a good man. We watched him go at the muscle camp, man. He was an absolute beast. Like, actually, we got the group on the call right now. Thompson, John, Paul. You got a good little group there. You
Yeah, we did.
boys are good. I want to see you cranking on the next one. Yeah, just think, like, you boys probably have this in place anyway. But in terms of those long days. I don't know whether Greg noticed this on the. I actually pulled in the car yesterday on the way back. So we came back from London. I was like, "Do you want electrolytes?" So in my bag when I travel, I'll always bag in electrolytes. Typically, there's protein powders. I'm not a huge fan of protein bars, but if it's last case scenario, then that's probably what I'll go to. Beef jerky. I'll always, if I know this shit's gonna hit the fan, like if I'm on a plane and stuff like that. I'm always packing stuff ahead of time. So I know if I'm stuck, I've got something there. So, like, ideal scenario for you, John, again, I don't want to like put things in your meal plan that may not need to be there. But I would always be, if you're struggling to get calories in, I would be looking for the best choices possible, that's the most nutritious and the most calorie dense if you're struggling for food, because obviously food volume might be an issue there. So if you're struggling to get the calories in. So, I'll always be like, well, where am I? What places have I got around me? One sec, let me know Vihar in. What places have I got around me? And I'll always look for like health food shops that have fresh dried fruit, some good nuts and seeds, beef jerky, things like that, protein powders, and so on. So, like, if you can pack those in your bag and have those ready in your bag, and it might be good for Vihar as well if he's struggling to get calories in, like if he's like on the ward for like X amount of hours, you know, that might be something you could put in place there. Greg, have you touched anything like that with John so far?
Not in that much detail, no. So definitely a good show for him.
Sorry, one sec, guys. Someone knocking my door. One sec. It's like 11:30 p.m. at night. Let's see how Bihar's doing.
Bihar, how are you, brother? You're on mute, my friend.
All right, is that good? You can hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. Yeah, good. Just at work in between patients. A little late.
Just chiming in at the coaching call in between patients.
Yeah.
Brother,
Good. How are you guys doing? All
doing
good,
well,
man.
man.
Yeah. Yeah, I got back on it. Feeling good right now. About to go on another trip, so got to.
Where are you flying out to, Bihar?
Oh, he's gone.
Being dragged in by one of his patients. Get in here. You're not allowed on the coaching call. It's like, damn. Oh, yes, he's back in now. Let's get him in. There he is.
Sorry about that. It was
All good, man.
going to Bali for with the
Yeah.
family.
Nice, brother. There's some
So,
good gyms there, man. What part of Bali were you staying?
going to Ubud for like 3 days. I found a gym near the hotel because the hotel gym is kind of, pretty very basic.
Yeah.
So I don't want to fall off. Want to try to, make these gains. I'm on a high still from this camp, that,
You're
So,
great.
yeah. So,
We got the muscle camp on the call tonight. We got all the boys in the muscle camp on the call.
yeah.
Love it. How do you recover after the camp, man? Because you did a lot of training in those few days there. So how was your recovery going? Do you feel, were you sore after a few days, or were you good to go?
I couldn't lift as much. That was for sure. Soreness, some, the days we did all the quad workouts, I did some stretching and foam rolling right after that workout. That seemed to have helped a lot with soreness. I actually wasn't that bad with soreness there. Hamstrings, I didn't get a chance to do all that. So I've been incorporating all these stretches and foam rolling now right after the workout, and that seems to help a lot.
Good man. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, mate, I know Dan's gonna definitely have you dialed in for when you go. Like you'll have your 16, like 5, 16 hour audits going for you, making sure you're on point with everything, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, to be fair, man, Bali's quite a fit place. Like I know a few of my friends that stay there.
Yeah.
They said they got good gyms there, they've got good health food
Yeah.
restaurant, things like that. So
I looked up
well.
a bunch of places. That's why I started looking up gyms, because there's no the hotel gym is just, man, it
Jesus,
is so
there's one
basic.
called Undefeated. There's a coach that I worked with previously. He owns that gym. Now it's a
Okay.
very like full-on bodybuilding gym. So it might not be a thing, man.
Do you know where that what part of Bali that's in?
I'll find it. I'll send it to you on in our WhatsApp group.
Okay. Because if I'm in that area, then I don't mind hitting that up. Yeah.
Yeah. So and he's also got he's got a health food restaurant as well. So
Okay.
they'll make the food specific to the macros you want to.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So I think they do that as, there as well.
Man, this one's gonna be tough because I'm 3 days in one city, three in another, and then I'm on a boat for like 2 nights.
Man,
So,
if you can be close on this
yeah.
and you do well, you can do it anywhere.
Yeah, right.
Like
This
think it out.
one's gonna be a little, this one's been kind of like on my head about how I'm gonna make this. I just have to be on point with my diet. I'm kind of zoned in on this ever since the muscle camp.
Yeah.
It's just the macros and stuff like that is gonna be the issue.
So that place might be able to help because they'll do good quality meats, rice, vegetables. I think they do the is it, Thompson, what's the purple like sweet potato? Is it ube?
Yeah, Ube.
They do like purple sweet potato, like it's called ube, I think. They do ube.
Okay.
So they do things like that, but they'll have it all measured for your macros. You tell them what macros you want. It's all done for you, I believe. So
Okay.
that might be good.
Okay.
But when you're traveling, then if you're obviously out and about, I'll maybe put this in our WhatsApp group as well. I think I shared this on a call previously, but worst case scenario, I use something called a T plate.
Okay.
Imagine your plate here like a circle, and then in my visual mind, I draw a line across the center, and I draw another line down. But from halfway, so you can visually draw a T in the middle of your plate, the letter T. So in the top half, that semicircle, the top half of it, that's where I'm going to place my protein.
Okay.
In the bottom quarter, lower part from the T, that's
Veggies.
where I'm going to place my vegetables. The other side, I'm going to place either my fats or my carbohydrates, depending on what I'm on for that day. So if it's like a cardio day, it might be less carbs. And I'll build my meals like that. And that's all I'll do. And I just pick
Okay.
that's going to fit in with those. That's
Okay.
worst case scenario. That's worst case.
Got it.
And it's nice and simple stuff, man. But it's looking ahead and going, right, I'm going to be here for 3 days. What, and use myself and Dan as well. And I'm sure Greg will help as well. But everyone's here to help you win, right? So if you're struggling, go, right, this is the location I'm in. Let us know and we'll take a look. We'll look at the best places around for you, the gyms and whatever. We'll go, right, that's probably going to be your best bet. This restaurant looks good. Pick this off the menu. Do this. And we can strategize those
Yeah,
things.
the problem on this one, Gavin, is I'm traveling with another family. So
Okay.
there's like a bunch of kids and like it's a big family trip. So it's kind of like, being selfish and being like, I'm gonna leave. Like I'm trying to like think about the times where I can just sneak out and get away for a couple hours and go get my workout in. And that's what I'm kind of focusing on.
Those are typically going to be if they're typically morning times, right? That's what I found in the past with others around, like myself as well. When, let's say, for example, I took my kids to Disneyland, right, in Florida. So I wasn't in Tampa, I was like into Orlando, and I would just like, I'm getting up early, man. If I don't train, like, it's going to break me. So I would get up super early when the kids were still asleep. Gym, I get back. They're waking up, just having their shower and stuff ready for the day. I jump in the shower, we go out for breakfast, and boom, I'm hitting the park or whatever we're going to do for that day. So it's just getting up that 90 minutes earlier, 2 hours sometimes, and just getting driving like down the road to the gym and then getting back for that time. And that was my time for the day. And after that, I was locked in.
That's it. I'm usually like that. I try to wake up early and do this. Like my thing here, I was actually Salash was telling me that you have this like, you have a certain like regimen for like or certain things you do for jet lag. So this one it's a huge time difference. So I think if I can manage that early on, then it'll help me with the days that I do have workouts planned.
This which way, because you're in LA, right? So
I'm
which
in
way
L.
are you
I'm
going?
going east.
You're
So
going oh, the other way.
west, sorry.
Yeah, so it might be a bit different for you. It might be a bit different. So for example, when I travel, if I travel, because when I travel the US, I'm traveling west. When I land, I'm like, I'm not too bad, man, when I go west. When I go east, it kills me. Like when I come back home, it takes me a longer time to get over, even though I've got it pretty locked down for a few days now. But it's specific things that I would do on the flight, right? So prepping for the flight, I would make sure you're hydrating on the flight always. So you can grab hold of hydrogen water tablets. So I'd probably pop hydrogen water tablets inside your water. We'll find you a link for those if you haven't, if you don't have access.
I have some I from like I had ordered some last year. I never used them.
Okay, man. Use a couple of those on the flight because it's going to be a long flight, right? It's probably like 12, 14 hours now.
23 hours.
Yeah, get them for that long. I would for sure be doing a lot of antioxidants. And I know Greg will probably come up with a few more, but I would definitely be taking vitamin C, some CoQ10, maybe some glutathione as well, potentially. Greg, what do you think in terms of antioxidants there? I know we got a jet lag protocol, but
I put one up on because I was doing it on the way back from Tampa last time. I just can't remember the name of the stuff. If you go, I'll send you the link to the post I did on Instagram. So there's two particular orange peel extract is one of them, and the other one has a really weird name that's been shown to have really, really potent antioxidant effects against UVB light that gets through the plane and seems to cause a lot of oxidative damage. So I put the protocol up there, but I'll send you the dosages as well, so that you can get before you fly. So I think I put glutathione on there, orange peel extract. The other one's really hard to name and I still can't pronounce it. And then you can use like stuff like vitamin C as well. Really useful when you, especially on long haul flights like that.
Yeah, I might miss it. I might not be able to get it this time around, but I'm flying out again in a couple of months, so yeah. That'd be good to have.
Did you put natokinase as well, Greg?
Yeah, so I always put like either natokinase or pycnogenol or both. If you get like, do you swell when you fly or anything like that, Vihar? Like your
Just a
experience?
little bit of feet swelling.
Yeah. Okay. I'll send you some links, okay?
Polypodium, Greg.
Yeah, that one.
Polypodium Lucas Thomas.
Yeah.
There we go. I know how to pronounce it. Yeah, definitely antioxidants, Bihar. And I would probably strategize where if you can stay awake at certain points on the flight. So when you let, like, what time do you know what time you're going to land at the place?
Yeah, 3 o'clock, three. So I leave here tonight, midnight, and I land. It takes a day to get there. It's going to be 3 o'clock in the afternoon their time. And I'm planning to like check in and go straight to the gym to work out.
Best mate, I was going to say, as soon as you land,
Yeah.
get it, like that'll be your best bet
Yeah.
because you've got enough time then, right? So you're going to calm yourself down afterwards. So if you can take your supplements, plenty of magnesium to calm yourself down afterwards. You
Okay.
might need a little bit of melatonin, to be honest, just to get you into sleep. It might not be the
Wait.
first night, but the night after might be the one.
Okay.
The first night you'll be out, you'll be dead. You'll be out for the count, man.
Yeah,
You'll be
I'm gonna try to
so
time
tired.
it so I'm gonna try to stay up on the plane as much as I can and then pass out.
Exactly.
Try to time
Exactly.
it. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just putting things in place there. It's going to suck for a little bit. If you
Yeah.
can wait, great. And then the first thing I would do the next morning is get in the sunlight as soon as that sun comes up. Get in the sunlight
Okay.
because you'll get faster at setting the circadian rhythm.
Yeah, I started this last year where I try to find an IV clinic and then I just get an IV with glutathione and Myers cocktail and all that. And that seems to help a lot. So let's see.
Yeah,
Try to.
definitely when traveling, I just find if you hydrate well and you get plenty of antioxidants,
Yeah.
seems to do better. So the more I've done that, the quicker I get over the jet lag.
Yeah.
So normally, when I come back, it takes me a good 5 days normally. This
Okay.
last couple of times has taken me about 2 days, and I'm like, done,
Okay.
sorted. And this time we had daylight savings happen the day, like a couple of days after I landed back as well. So that put the spanner in the works even more, and I was still fine, so it was all good. Yeah, we'll get you all on that, brother. Don't worry.
Right, thanks.
Okay. Let me just check on anybody else. No, I think we're all good, boys. So we've gone through everybody. Everybody seems good to go. Thompson, you know we got to get that 16-hour audit that OS done for your eating for over the next few days.
Yep.
So let's see if those plans work for you. If you need any support on that, man, let me know.
Is more in the evening when I on the weekends I don't obsess with AI and start learning stuff to 2 a.m.
Thanks for sending me over those things, man. You've roped me into your world now. So Thompson's sending me some tutorials on Claude Code and Claude Cowork and stuff. So he's pulling me into his rabbit hole. He's trying to get me to stay up till 2 a.m. learning AI. Which I might fall into the trap, I think. I can see it coming. But thanks so much, Thompson. Boys, anything else top of mind for you at the minute? Any questions you want to wrap on before we finish up? All good? Okie dokie. Okay, boys. Well, thanks so much for your time this Wednesday. Jared, keep me posted over the next few days, okay? Let me know you're getting on. We may grab a call tomorrow or Friday or beginning of next week, whichever works best. Vihar, safe flight, man. Have a good trip. Keep us posted, okay? Enjoy the jet lag. Make sure you're kicking ass over there. Enjoy with the families. Paul, keep us posted on your knee stuff as well, okay? John, you keep eating, man. Time to get that body weight up, brother. Have fun, boys. Greg. Catch you tomorrow, big man. Speak to you in a bit, guys. Have a good night.